Bridgewater with Rudolph and Asiano in the backfield out of the shotgun. On third down, takes the snap. Teddy looks left, fires, caught! Stephon Diggs, and he spins to the 30, 20, 15, 10, and touchdown! Stephon Diggs! Way to steal the show, Stephon! It's a 40-yard touchdown, and the Vikings are an extra point from tying the game. Got to hurry, 39, 38, 37. Three timeouts remaining. Two receivers left and right, second and six. Teddy on a deep drop. Purnell McPhee is doubled. Teddy fires for Charles Johnson, right side. No! Charles goes up and gets it, and he came down with it at the 27. Charles Johnson's only reception today was a big one. It's a 34-yard cold-blooded connection. And the Vikings have it first and 10 at the Bears 27 with 27 seconds to go. And the Vikings take a timeout. And now Blair Walsh from 36 yards left hash to win the game. Snap, good, spot down. Walsh's kick is up, and it is good! Goodbye, Chicago! The Vikings win!
It's another Vikings victory. Your favorite football team is 5-2. Hello, everyone. It's Mike Wobschall in Xfinity Studios. This is another edition of the Wobcast. We're a little bit delayed in posting this early week edition of the Wobcast. We apologize for that, but we were counting all of Blair Walsh's made field goals, and this took a little bit longer than we thought. After all, he has made 13 straight, including the game-winning kick, a walk-off winner for Walsh at Soldier Field to give the Vikings that 23-20 victory. It's always a lot of fun to talk about wins, and that's what Vikings players and coaches were doing in the locker room after their win over the Bears. Here's what it sounded like.
Good win. Good win today, all right? It wasn't pretty. We made a lot of mistakes. Tons of mistakes. We finally ran the football like I expect us to run the ball, okay? But we got to make sure. We got a long way to go now, all right? Blair, that's a hell of a kick, baby. Yeah. Defensively, did a hell of a job in the fourth quarter.
Okay?
Hell of a job in the fourth quarter. Good job getting the ball back defensively. Marcus Sherrills.
Smart.
Hell of a smart. Now, you guys made me a promise in the locker room last
week.
But we're working tomorrow. All right, here we go.
Damn.
Fire on three. One, two, three. Fire.
You know, I'm proud of the team, the way that we fought. This team has a lot of toughness about them. It wasn't always pretty today. I don't think we played our best football, but we did a good job. We finally ran the football the way I expect us to run the ball, but we didn't start out very good offensively, and then defensively I thought we had some lapses there in the second half. But it's a very, very good win for our football team. You know, when you're in these situations and you continue to get in these situations and you continue to find a way to win, that's what's most important. It's all about how you finish. And so I thought we did good in that area, and I'm proud of our guys. They, you know, on the sidelines, they stay tough.
Feels good, you know, but I'm far from the hero. This is a team win. You know, we haven't won here in a long time, since 07, I think. And, you know, Zimmer being a Chicago native, he'll never admit it, but I know this one's a little more special to him. You know what? We didn't play our best today, but we fought it out and got a win. You know, we had a really nice drive there at the end to put it in the end zone, and then you know, another assist set up by Adrian Peterson for me. And, you know, I got to thank that guy. And then Jeff and Kevin have been on money all year in there. Snaps and holds and protection, so they make my job real easy on a day like today.
It's a roller coaster, you know. You're gonna get jabbed, but what are you gonna do? You're gonna lay down, or you're gonna respond? And we just keep choosing to respond, and that's what I love about this team the most.
So you hear what Adrian loves about this team. Here's what I love about this team right now: the way they are winning as a team. There is not one player on this roster that the Vikings are relying on too much or every week to get the job done. If you remember, speaking of Adrian Peterson, in 2012, when he was running for 2,000 yards and ran to the MVP award, the Vikings won the final four games of that season to get into the playoffs, and a lot of different parts of the team were playing well, but I think everyone knew the Vikings were winning games because Adrian was on an incredible string of games. Well, Adrian is playing well right now, but a lot of other players and parts of this team are playing well right now. It's complimentary football at its finest. The special teams is chipping in. In fact, they had 16 of the team's 23 points in the win at Soldier Field. The defense is dominating for most of the game, and whenever the defense has a slip-up, as they did when they allowed Jay Cutler to drive down for a touchdown to take the lead in the fourth quarter on Sunday, the offense is stepping up and making plays. How about the offense at Soldier Field? Not that great for much of the game, but when it counted the most, this offense stepped up. A 7-play, 84-yard touchdown drive to tie it, and then a 4-play, 48-yard drive to cap it off with a field goal to win it. So complimentary football by this Vikings team. Not one player is being relied on too heavily to win it, and that's what I love about the way the Vikings are playing right now. Let's take a closer look at that Vikings victory over the Bears. We'll look at the good and the bad, and we start with the good. In crunch time, this team delivered. Teddy, Diggs, Charles Johnson coming through late in the game to make big plays to get the Vikings a win.
Takes the snap on second and long, gets away from the pressure, sprints to the left to the 20-25. Teddy slides at the 30. First down, Teddy! And it was a big one on second and 17.
That Teddy scramble, do not underestimate how important that play is. That was the game-tying drive that ended with a Stephon Diggs touchdown. But the first play of that drive with the game on the line is an 8-yard sack of Teddy Bridgewater, the first and only sack allowed by the Vikings offensive line, but a sack nonetheless, which set the Vikings back 8 yards on second and 18. What does Teddy do? With a limp, he scrambles down the middle of the field for 19 yards, showing toughness and resiliency, getting the Vikings back on track, and the rest is history, as we all know. So a great play there by Teddy Bridgewater. He hung tough, took hits, delivered throws, continued to make big plays. And it all set up Blair Walsh. Remember when we were worried about him, folks? We're not worried about him anymore. Blair is 17 of 19 on field goals for the season. He's made 13 straight. He is playing awesome right now.
I knew he was going to make it. He's been making them every day in practice. He's been, what, 9 for 9. You know, the ball came off his foot good. You can tell when a guy's kicking the ball good. There's a thump to it, and he thumped it pretty good, and it was dead down the middle.
Another big part of the Vikings' performance, Linval Joseph. Linval is hungry. 7 tackles, 3 quarterback hurries in that game, gobbling up double teams, making plays on his own, just causing mayhem in the middle of the field. He is playing great for the Vikings, and he is a big reason why this defense is playing so well. With all of the action that happened at the end of the game, with the Vikings scoring 10 points and a flurry to win a nail-biter at Soldier Field, let's not forget what happened early in the game, and it was as important a play as there was throughout the entire game. Marcus Sherrills with this big punt return.
Marcus Sherrills from his own 35 heads to the right side, turns the corner near side to the 40 to the 50, and Sherrills has one guy to beat. 25-20, gets a block from Hunter. Touchdown! Marcus Sherrills with a 65-yard punt return touchdown, the third of his career, has rallied the Vikings to the lead at Soldier Field.
Not only can he return punts for touchdowns, but he can also cover punts with the best of them. Sherrills led the team in special teams tackles with 2, so do more to help us win, Marcus Sherrills.
You can't.
You pretty much can. Marcus Sherrills is doing pretty much everything he can. Another man who is doing everything he can to help the Vikings win is Adrian Peterson. A 100-yard rushing game at Soldier Field. That's the 45th 100-yard rushing game of his career and the third of this season for Adrian Peterson, getting those tough yards when we need them the most. And I also want to credit Zach Line, who maybe had his best game as a Viking. For those of you who really want to dig into it, go back and watch the game. Second quarter, 12-13 to go, 2nd and 6 for the Vikings from the Chicago 41. Watch the block that Zach Line puts on linebacker Leroy Reynolds, a de-cleater to clear the way for Adrian Peterson. Speaking of clearing the way for Adrian Peterson, the Vikings offensive line had a great game blocking, protected Teddy very well. Got to credit those guys up front. But Adrian Peterson just continues to do what he does, and that is torture defenses, even though they're overplaying to try and stop him. Okay, we always have to have a few things to work on. So what can the Vikings work on as they prepare for the St. Louis Rams? How about red zone offense? We talked about red zone offense last week going into the game, hoping it would get better. The Vikings had the league's 23rd ranked red zone offense. At least they did going into the game. I can't imagine they're going to climb up in the rankings because they were 0-for-2 at Soldier Field. So there's an area where the team can improve. And I would have to imagine the Vikings defensive coaching staff will comb through the tape on that final Bears touchdown drive late in the fourth quarter where Jay Cutler capped it with a touchdown run. Probably some things you can do to improve on that drive. So the Vikings win the game, but the coaching staff is not without teaching points, and that's probably not a bad thing. But things going in the right direction for this team. They are one of just five NFC teams with five or more wins right now. They are 5-2 heading into week 9, and they will battle the St. Louis Rams, another team right in the thick of it in that NFC playoff field. Well, as he does every week, Nate Vaughn has scoured the internet, and he's come up with some cool audio about the Vikings. So are the Vikings for real? A couple of guys who have been on some real teams and have won Super Bowls, Terrell Davis and Brian Billick, they say yes.
The Vikings do look pretty good right now. They're 5-2, they're 3-0 in their division, 3-1 in the conference. And right now, I mean, the pieces are starting to come together. Stephon Diggs that you're showing right now, this young man from Maryland, is really starting to catch his stride on the defensive side of the ball. They're playing well. Eric Kendricks, the rookie at UCLA, is balling right now with 4 sacks on the year. Teddy Bridgewater, though, his play has not really been as great as I thought it would be this year. Only 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He's got to step his play up, but they got that big beast in the backfield and Adrian Peterson. So they've got the pieces in place. And in that conference, I think they will have a chance to make the postseason. As a matter of fact, if the playoffs start today, they would be the 6th seed in the playoff picture. So I like where they're headed right now, to be honest with you guys.
Let's say I'm a fan and haven't really watched the Vikings this year. What am I missing out on?
Well, the fact that they're pretty darn good. I picked them to win the division, which was a little iffy a couple weeks ago, but I'm looking pretty smart right now, particularly with Green Bay having to play Carolina this week coming up. Here's what they've got. Mike Zimmer's done his typical brilliant job with the defense, and unless you live in Minneapolis, name a starter on that defense in Minnesota. You can't. He did the same thing in Cincinnati. You know you got Adrian Peterson in behind. He's going to be important. But obviously for me, it's Teddy Bridgewater. He's beginning to show signs to match this good defense, to have the good running game. Teddy Bridgewater's beginning to make some plays now that, just like at the end of the game to help set up the field goal, had a big game 2 weeks ago. He's beginning to look like that veteran that now is in the better part of his second year. Norv Turner, very comfortable putting the game in Teddy Bridgewater's hands. Let's also remember, beating Chicago, a lot of people, that may not be a big deal. They haven't won there in 7 years. So they're subtly checking off those boxes, kind of like Cincinnati beating Seattle, beating Pittsburgh finally. They're checking off those boxes, and more importantly, they believe they're the best team in the NFC North.
The Vikings, with their victory and with a Packers loss, are just 1 game behind the division leaders in the NFC North. So let's take a closer look at the division. To do that, we go to the NFC North update desk, where, as you know, Nate Vaughn is manning the station. Hi, Nate.
Hello, Wobby.
What's happening?
Not much, just hanging out in second place, but close behind first place in the NFC North. You heard Brian Billick talk about how that's not such a crazy opinion to have.
Right.
The Vikings could give the Packers a run. Part of the reason is because the Packers lost on Sunday night.
Which we love seeing.
We do. We don't see a lot of that.
No, we don't.
The past few years.
They're a good team.
In a matchup of undefeated teams, the Packers are suddenly mortal in a 29-10 loss to Denver. Aaron Rodgers, just 77 yards passing in the entire game.
Right.
That's the lowest he's had in his career. And here's a stat for you. The Broncos outgained the Packers. You know, the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning at quarterback, who can't play quarterback
anymore.
He's
done. Anymore. Yeah, he's done. Finished. Yep.
Peyton Manning led that Broncos offense to 500 total yards. Mm. Green Bay, 140 total yards the entire game.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers with 77 yards passing. I mean, I'm going to say there are a handful or more drives within games this season where Rodgers has 77 yards passing on the drive.
Yeah.
You know, and he finishes the game with that many. And as you said, the Broncos just racking up yards and points, you know, in almost unstoppable fashion. Demaryius Thomas had a game. I think he had 10 catches, 180 some yards.
Yeah, he's good still.
So, yeah, he's good at football. So, a very unpacker-like performance on Sunday night, and getting home from Chicago when we did, we were home in time to watch that game, and I'm sure you did what I did, sat on the couch and took it in and loved what you saw. So, I don't think we're going to see that version of the Green Bay Packers very often. And in fact, we're going to see the Green Bay Packers up close in 2 weeks when they come here to play. By the way, that game has been moved to 3:25, I believe, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's right. Kickoff for that game shifted from noon to 3:25. That's 2 weeks from now. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. In the meantime, we will play the St. Louis Rams. The Packers, Nate, play?
They play at Carolina next week. So from one solid defense to another. And Carolina coming off a big win last night on Monday Night Football.
And they're undefeated.
So they are.
And they have Jared Allen.
That's right.
So Jared loves to chase Aaron Rodgers around the yard. Hopefully he'll do a bunch of that on Sunday when the Packers go to Carolina for another tough game. All right, what else happened?
Well, the Detroit Lions got on a plane, flew all the way to London with a different offensive coordinator, different O-line coaches, and they went all that way only to be handed a 45-10 defeat to the hands of the Kansas City Chiefs. They're now 1-7, and right now, still another half of the season left, but right now are in prime position for that number one overall pick.
Right. Yeah, that's not where you want to be in the middle of a season. Once the season's over and you're in that spot, you can find some positives about it. But right now, that's negative. And they make some changes on the staff, different coaches in different spots, but same result for the Lions, unfortunately for them, in London with a tough loss. So now for them, it's gut check time. I mean, they are certainly a very improbable choice to make the playoffs sitting there at 1-7. If they won their final eight games, they would be at 9-7, and I don't know that that would even get them in. So for them, it's it's a little forward looking right now for the Lions. Which of our guys right now on this roster have the guts and the heart to be a part of our 2016 team? That's what they're trying to figure out. I mean, that's how you have to look at it. If you're the Detroit Lions, certainly some building blocks there. They have the answer at quarterback, I believe, in Matthew Stafford. There are some pieces on the offensive line that I think are building blocks, but they have to make some other changes. And then, of course, we know they're loaded at skill position players. Tight end Eric Ebron is young and good. I think they're good at running back with Amir Abdullah, and their receivers are still good. Calvin Johnson is getting to be long in the tooth, but still is one of the best in the league. Golden Tate is nice. So definitely future on the minds there in Detroit. Still got to pay attention to your current games in the current season, but definitely thinking about what's ahead in 2016. That's what you're doing if you're a member of the Detroit Lions covenant. But in the immediate future.
In the immediate future, they have a bye this week,
which
as
is,
do teams coming off of the London game.
A much needed bye for them.
A much needed bye. And then it doesn't really get a whole lot easier in the first week after the bye. They are at Green Bay.
Well, hey, take a week off, get rested, figure out how to motivate yourself. Be in your best form, and please take down the Green Bay Packers for us.
Yeah, we'd be okay with that for another week. Like we've already talked about a little bit, the Vikings defeat the Bears in stunning fashion, 23-20. Vikings now 5-2, very much in the thick of the playoff race, and also the NFC North race. Bears dropped to 2-5. Wabi, I remember you said to me right after the game, this is one of the most fun games you've been a part of as a Vikings fan or employee.
Yeah, it was. And I think it's because of a confluence of emotions and circumstances. I mean, first of all, you have the whole stat about how the Vikings hadn't won at Soldier Field since 2007. And that we heard that ad nauseum. And I think even the people who talk about stats got tired of talking about that stat. I mean, that one has definitely run its course and now it's over. We'll never have to reference that stat again. Because the Vikings have slayed the dragon, they have exorcised the demons, they have won at Soldier Field. So that one is gone forever. We'll never reference that stat again. You had redemption. I love redemption stories. And Blair Walsh, who was left for dead by a lot of people, has had a revival and has come back to form and walked off a winner at Soldier Field with that field goal to win the game. And coincidentally enough, Nate, the last time the Vikings won at Soldier Field, it was with a Ryan Longwell field goal at the end of the game to win it. So, it's a lot of fun to win games that way. It's a lot of fun to win on the road. You kind of feel like you're stealing when you win on the road. You get on the bus, you drive away from the city to the airport, and, everyone's on a high. So,
especially a game like that where the whole game you're kind of struggling, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then at the very end of the fourth quarter, you say, oh, we got a shot. And then next thing you know, you're sitting on the bus after a 3-point victory.
I mean, let's look at, I'm looking at the play-by-play right now. I mean, we got to the 2-minute warning, and we were trailing by 7 points, you know? So you're trailing by 7 at the 2-minute warning. You do have the ball, but I mean, you're trailing at 7 at the 2-minute warning at Soldier Field after having just given up a touchdown drive that went 14 plays, 74 yards in 8 minutes and 34 seconds, and Jay Cutler, of all people, runs the ball in for a touchdown to what looks like maybe dagger you. And it's like, here we go again, another loss at Soldier Field in heartbreaking fashion. And the Vikings show some toughness, some resiliency, and they come back and they score 10 points in the final 2 minutes to get that victory. So definitely one of my favorite regular season victories that I've been a part of. So a lot of fun at Soldier Field last weekend.
And don't look now, but right now, because it matters right now, halfway through the season, Vikings right in line for the sixth seed in the NFC in the playoffs. So Atlanta at 6-2, slated in the fifth spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, if the season ended today, we're in it.
We're in. Well, I don't think Goodell's going to end the season for us today, so we're going to have to play more games. But it is good news that we would be in if the season ended today, because that means things are going in the right direction. And what's cool about the NFC playoff picture right now from a Vikings perspective is the team ahead of the Vikings, the Falcons, they're on our schedule. The team right behind us, the Rams, they're on our schedule. This week we play them. The team right behind the Rams is the Seahawks. They're on our schedule. We're chasing the Packers. One game behind them, we have two games against the Packers. So there's some sense of controlling your own destiny here for the Vikings halfway through the season, sitting at 5-2. And you always want to control your own destiny, and teams that get to control their own destiny in large part are teams that are winning games, and right now the Vikings are winning games. They have won 5 of their 7 games this season, so things are looking up for the purple.
All right, we'll move on to over-unders. 10-8 coming into this week.
Yeah, I'd rather not talk about my performance this week. Can we just move on to something else?
Okay, sure. Do you want to wrap it up then?
Yep, here we go.
Okay. I'm not going to let you do that. So 10-8 going in. We do 3 each week. The first one we took a look at was passing yards for Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah,
one of his best games as a Viking against Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So we had pretty high hopes going to Chicago for Teddy Bridgewater. So we put the passing yards for Teddy at 253.5, and you took the over.
Right.
We thought it would be a big game for number 5.
I was feeling good. I had 5 on it.
Turns out he was 17 of 30 for 187 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, and 1 win, which is overall the most important stat, but for your sake, didn't turn out so well.
Yeah, Teddy got the win. I did not. In the over-under guess on Teddy's passing yards, I was way off. I was way off on this one, and I don't know what the deal was. If Teddy would have played the whole game like he played in the last 2 drives, I would have gotten this one right.
That would have been a different story.
He had a perfect passer rating, in fact, in the Vikings' last 2 drives. Teddy Bridgewater with a perfect passer rating. But he was not perfect the entire game, and therefore I was wrong on taking the over.
So over 1 so far on the over-unders. The second we took a look at was rushing average for Adrian. So average yards per rush for Adrian Peterson. Through the season, his average is at 4.4 yards per carry. So that's what we put the over-under at. And you took the under. You said he would have less than 4.4 yards per carry. In the end, he had 103 yards on 20 carries. That equals a 5.15 yard average per carry. So you were wrong on this, but it was to the benefit of the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, my theory here was the Bears would overplay the run, which all teams have done this season, and that that would cause us to be under our yards per carry average for the season, and that would lead to Teddy's big passing day. So that was my theory on the first 2 over-unders. I was wrong on the first one, and subsequently I was wrong on the second one as well, but happy to be wrong about this one because I love when Adrian runs for 5.1 yards per carry, especially when he carries it 20 times. If you do that time after time, you're going to win a lot of games.
As the Vikings did this week. The third over-under we took a look at was third down percentage for Chicago. Mm-hmm. So the success rate of the Bears converting on third down.
Which they're a good third down team.
They are. Mm-hmm. So that's why you took the over when we put the line at 34%. Turns out you were wrong about that one, but again, to the benefit of the Vikings. The Bears were 3 of 12 on third down. That's 25%.
I'm just here to reverse jinx the Vikings on this over-under game.
You can keep doing that as long as we win.
My theory here was the Bears are a good third down team. The Vikings are a good third down defense, but the Bears would continue to convert on third down, and the trade-off would be the Vikings would turn the Bears over. That was my theory. As my theory was with the first 2 over-unders, my theory on the third over-under was completely wrong. The Vikings did not turn the Bears over at all, but they were very good defensively against the Bears on third down. So, once again, we'll take the trade-off. I reverse jinxed the Vikings. I sacrificed my over record on over-under so the Vikings could win the game. I'm a team player.
You sacrificed it to the extent that you're now under 500.
Right.
Under 500 for the first time since week two of the NFL season.
My back's against the wall. The world is against me. No one believes in us, and we are going to put our best foot forward next week.
Sounds like you have a lot of doubters out there.
Yep, I do. And speaking of that, great transition, Nate
Vaughn.
Thank
you. Thank you.
I have a new checklist for Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer. You recall in the post-game press conference on Sunday, Coach referenced that the Vikings continue to check things off of the list of things that people say the Vikings can't do. Can't win on the road within the division, one at Detroit. Can't win back-to-back road games, one at Detroit and then at Chicago. Can't win in Chicago, haven't done that since 07, one in Chicago. Well, the checklist is complete, so I have a new one, and we all know, Nate, that Coach Zimmer downloads the Wobcast on iTunes and listens to it on bus rides and long car rides. And when he's sitting in his office looking for things to do, twiddling his thumbs, we know that he listens to the Wobcast. So, Coach Zimmer, get your pen and paper out because I have a new checklist for you. Things the Vikings can't do. Things the Vikings can check off their list over the next 3 weeks. You ready, Nate?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, our next game is against who, Nate?
The St. Louis Rams.
The St. Louis Rams, their record is?
4-3.
4-3. So they are a 500 or better team. The Vikings and Coach Zimmer have not defeated a team with a winning record this season. So this is their chance to check that item off their list. Okay. Number two, after we play the Rams, who do we play, Nate?
The Oakland Raiders.
We do. And we're on the road. And Oakland is on the West Coast, Vikings.com has learned.
It is. Vikings.com can confirm the location of Oakland, California.
West Coast. The Vikings can't win on the West Coast, Nate. The Vikings are 0-4 since 2008 on the West Coast. So Mike Zimmer and the Vikings can check that item off the checklist by winning at Oakland. Okay.
Also a team above 500 right now, too.
Yeah, that's right. So they can prove,
double up on that.
They can double up on can't beat a 500 team, and then they can check off can't win on the West Coast off the checklist. Okay. Third, who do we play after Oakland?
The Green Bay Packers.
Can't beat Green Bay. Haven't beaten Green Bay since 2012 and 1-9-1 in your last 11 games against the Packers, Coach Zimmer. You can't beat Green Bay. Put that one on your checklist, and let's check it off 3 weeks from now. So there it is, folks. Mike Zimmer's new checklist. Can't beat a team with a winning record. Have a chance to do it against the Rams. Can't win on the West Coast. Have a chance to go to Oakland and win. Can't beat Green Bay. Have a home game against the Packers in 3 weeks. Check those items off your checklist, Vikings, and you're going to be in great shape heading into the final stretch.
I think I can hear Coach Zimmer printing that list off.
On his printer?
Okay. Posting it up on his wall next to his desk.
Okay, good. And I'm just here, once again, I'm here to reverse jinx the Vikings and over-under and provide motivational material for the Vikings and all other segments of the Wobcast. I think we've done a good job of that today.
Yeah, we're doing our part.
Okay. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Wobcast. Remember, we're going to be back later in the week to take a deep dive preview of the Vikings and the Rams. That's the battle that is in front of us. Sunday at noon, right here in Minnesota, Vikings will take on the Rams, a Rams team with a great defensive line, deep and talented, just like the Vikings, and a team with an awesome rookie running back in Todd Gurley, who is tearing things up in his last four games, all starts, all 100-yard rushing performances for Todd Gurley. So these two teams kind of mirroring each other right now. We're going to take a deeper dive later in the week on the next edition of the Wobcast. In the meantime, go to Vikings.com and check out all the great content. You want to hear from Mike Zimmer and Teddy Bridgewater during their press conferences? You can do that on Vikings.com. We stream them live. You want to watch 96 Questions with B-Rob, where he goes around the locker room with a microphone and asks weird questions of his teammates? You can check that out on Thursdays. And of course, lots of other great stuff on Vikings.com. We encourage you to check it out, and we encourage you to download the Vikings app if you haven't done so, and you can get all of our great content delivered straight to your favorite mobile device. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We'll be back later in the week with another edition of the Wobcast, but until then, we'll see you later. So, yeah! Yeah.